Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome to Parks After Dark. The silk robes are right over there. Grab your favorite Jordan Matthews highlight and let's have a take or two.
Going on, thanks for having me on, man.
It's Parks After Dark, right here on the WIP Evening Show.
Yes, it is that time of the week. Parks After Dark. Elliot Shore Parks joining us right here in the Evening Show. Joe Giglio with you and you guys with us. Elliot, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We're 3 weeks, 3 weeks and a day from the NFL draft. How you doing? How's quarantine treating you?
It's going, you know, as well as it could, I guess. I get to, you know, listen to you guys, which is always fun. But it is crazy that the draft is only 3 weeks away with everything going on. It's hard to think about, but yeah, only like 3 weeks.
What's your thought on it? Because last night I saw Adam Schefter in so many words basically rip the NFL that, you know, we have a serious issue going on and people are dying all across our country. And yet the NFL, Elliot, I've been amazed. I understand that they can do it and you know, basically, technology allows them to do things like the free agency and the draft without going off schedule. But their attitude the last couple days in just – basically, the NFL is just acting like everything is normal and everything will be normal by its season. Are you surprised by it? What do you make of the way the NFL's handled this?
Well, I'm definitely not surprised by it. I mean, this is a league that has never put, you know, really the players first at all. They've always put money first. That's just – how the NFL operates, and the sick part is that's probably why they're the most successful league in the world, right? So, I mean, this attitude is going to carry them through that. When they did free agency, I thought it was poor taste to do it. I thought they could have put it off. But the reality is they really haven't faced much criticism at all for doing it. I mean, it went on. People enjoyed it. It gave us a distraction. So I don't think they should do the draft. I feel bad for the kids who, you know, a guy like Joe Burrow, who this is his chance to walk across stage, be that number one pick. He's not going to get that moment. I do feel bad for him. But I will say the NFL was right about doing free agency in a lot of ways. So it's hard for me to sit here and think going forward with the draft is the wrong call.
Yeah, and Elliot, I think the Eagles here will be fine getting through this. And look, they're a front office that has been together, but Howie's run this thing for a while now. And I don't really – I'm not looking for excuses for any of these teams. Like, they had the combine. They have all the tape. They can do remote and conversations, whether it's Zoom or it's FaceTime. Like, they could talk to these players. I'm not going to sit here 6 months from now if they make three or four bad draft picks and say, well, I mean, this is all because of what happened, you know, in the springtime. I think there's enough there, and they have enough at their hand, at their disposal. I don't think it should significantly impact the way these players are chosen.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. And I would even say that the Eagles front office has a leg up on other front offices when it comes to the changing of the rules. I mean, the fact that the rules have changed so quickly, the fact that a lot of the pre-draft process was kind of cut away, it rewards front offices that are forward-thinking, that are good at adjusting on the fly, and that have been doing their homework all year. I mean, the Giants said at their introductory press conference about a month or two ago, they've just now hired quote-unquote computer folk. So the Eagles are ahead of the game when it comes to the division. They have one of them. I mean, when you talk to people around the league at events like the Combine and the owners' meetings and stuff, you hear that the Eagles front office is regarded as one of the best in the league. And I think that this is going to give them a heads up because, you know, those teams that were waiting to get ready for the prospects, guys that they wanted to have come in, the Eagles are among the best in the league at collecting unique data. They're very analytically driven. So I think they're going to have a heads up on these other front offices in this draft.
Before we get to draft stuff, and Elliot Shore Parks is on with us, 94WIP.com, and also the Go Birds podcast. Before we get to that, Yannick Ngakoue, you've been on the Ngakoue beat here with his Instagram stories for a couple weeks now. What's your gut on this? Because at the beginning of it, I just thought he was having fun. Because I think if you're going to have fun with any fan base, you're going to do it to the Philadelphia fan base, because we eat it up and we just like we go crazy with the stuff like this. But it continues here. The more it continues, the more it's harder to think, oh, there's nothing behind this. What do you make of all of these posts and all of these signals towards Philadelphia and the Eagles?
Well, he tweeted something maybe about an hour ago, hour and a half ago, saying that it was never about the money, essentially saying bye to Jacksonville. It had a very past tense feeling to it. So look, Ngakoue has been playing this out through social media, and even today still, he's liking posts from people saying the Eagles should trade for him. He's posting pictures of Eagles players. And on one hand, I do think he clearly either wants to come to Philly or knows the Eagles want him, and he's exactly the type of player the Eagles would go after. 24 years old, or I guess 25 now, his birthday was yesterday, but 25 years old, elite pass rusher, extremely proven track record, could be that guy for the next 5-plus years. But I am starting to wonder if the Eagles are liking him doing this or not. I mean, the Eagles, as we know, are a team that kind of likes to operate in the dark. You don't really know what they're going to do until they do it. They certainly aren't a team that enjoys guys handling stuff through the media. So unless this is all some big conspiracy between the Eagles and Yannick to get him here, I would imagine this is rubbing them the wrong way.
Yeah, and I know you're on record saying you would trade the 21st pick in the draft for him. I would, too. And, Elliot, the reason I'm so adamant that I would do it is, I mean, they could, if everything worked out and guys stayed healthy, you could make a good case that if they trade for him, they could have the best defensive line in the NFL next year. And last year, we watched the 49ers basically use that to get to the Super Bowl. Like, that was the strength of their team, and they dominated the NFC. I mean, if you line up Ngakoue and Fletcher and Hargrave and Brandon, and let's assume you keep Derek Barnett and not have to trade him away in the deal, and he's a rotational guy, and Malik Jackson, nobody can match up with that.
Yeah, that's something Howie has stressed when talking about why they went after Hargrave. Now, obviously, Ngakoue is a different type of player. He's an edge rusher. He's a better player than Hargrave. But look, Howie said that the number one way you win the NFL outside of passing the ball is disrupting the quarterback on the opposing team. And they would certainly be able to do that. It's interesting to me how some people wouldn't trade number 21 for Ngakoue. But if I told you the Eagles traded up for Chase Young out of Ohio State, everyone would be excited about that. So I think there's just for some reason, I guess maybe it's the money involved in it. And I do get that to a certain extent. But if Ngakoue was in this year's draft, he would not make it to number 21 overall. He would probably be a top 5 to 7 pick. That's how good he is, and that's how young he is, and that's how important the position he plays is. So I know everyone wants a receiver. I get it. I'm sure we're going to talk about that. But Ngakoue plays a more important position. He's a proven commodity, and he would completely change the Eagles' defense.
Yeah, and it's crazy his age. And you mentioned it, today's his birthday or yesterday was. So, but like usually when you say that about a player, like if I picked out another star defensive end, you know, someone would say back to me, well, Joe, he's 28. Like, I'm not taking a 28-year-old over a 21-year-old. But he's not that much older than the seniors in this class. Like maybe 2 years older, yet he's been in the league for 4 or 5 years. Yeah, I hope he gets here, and I think it'd be a great trade for the Eagles. All right, let's move to those wide receivers, Elliot. And I think if I had my dream first couple rounds for the Eagles, it would be trading for Ngakoue and using the 21st pick, assuming that's what it would take. And then the second round of 53, if he was there, would be K.J. Hamler out of Penn State. You've been writing about this guy for a while and kind of the connection all the way back to the combine when he talked up his relationship with Miles Sanders. And now it seems like there's real connection as the Eagles have had some sort of electronic visit with him. What's the latest and what do you think about Hamler?
Yeah, so all the way back at the combine, which feels about 10 years ago at
it
this
does.
Point, I got the feeling there that they were really big on K.J. Hamler. And so it's not surprising to me that when KJ was asked by the NFL Network about what teams he's met with, the first one out of his mouth, you know, was Baltimore and then the Eagles. So KJ makes a ton of sense. And I've just from talking with fans, a lot of people are like, well, I'd take him at 53 and not 21. And I get that. Obviously you would like to get him at 53. But the other thing I learned at the combine was every single team in the NFL is looking for speed. That is what the main focus is in the draft this year. And KJ is arguably the fastest. I know Henry Ruggs had the fastest 40. KJ didn't run the 40 at the combine. And when you look at how fast, I mean, they're comparable in terms of speed. So if the Eagles want to get speed, they want to get an explosive guy, they want to get a guy that can stretch opposing defenses, somebody that Carson can grow with. He's really close with Miles Sanders, which sounds silly, but I think that really does matter. KJ checks off all the boxes for the Eagles, and I would take him at 21 if he was there. I know people think it's a stretch, but if he is everything that you think he can be, then he will be a steal at 21.
So here's the thing on that. I know a lot of people, I've heard them say that's crazy, it's too high. You know, once you get past the top three, it doesn't feel like there's a consensus. It's not like, you know, it's not like everyone is saying KJ Hamler is the 12th best receiver and why would you take him as the fourth guy off the board. I really haven't seen anything like that, Elliot. I haven't seen anyone, like, I guess Jefferson is kind of in that fourth, fifth range in most of these mocks. But it seems like after you get past the top three, it's almost beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There's no consensus like who's going to be better, Jefferson or Chenault or Mims or Hamler. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know.
Yeah, look, I mean, I agree with you. I think Jefferson is kind of the next guy in there. And I think Justin Jefferson would be a good pick as well at number 22. I think Justin Jefferson, some of the best hands in the draft. He's put up ridiculous numbers against the best competition in college football. So I have no issue with Justin Jefferson. My only thing is, KJ, as opposed to some of the other guys like Denzel Mims and some of the other names you mentioned, KJ is exactly what the Eagles fans have said they've wanted all along. He is that down-the-field explosive player. He is the guy that they want to trade up for in Henry Ruggs. I'm not saying he's as good as Henry Ruggs, but the idea of Henry Ruggs is KJ Hamler in terms of what Henry Ruggs would bring to your offense. So, yeah, look, I like you said, it's not like he's someone that's projected to go in the fourth round. And I'd also say that at this point, it's just projections. Like the mock draft don't always give an accurate portrayal of what teams think of these guys, of KJ. And if the Eagles take him at 21, it won't be a reach. It'll be that's where the Eagles thought it was appropriate, how he didn't think he'd get him later, and that's because of what he knows from around the league.
All right, Elliot, we'll end with this. So tonight we're having some fun with what-ifs, some great what-ifs in sports history. So I'm going to throw a what-if at you, and then I want you to tell me how you think it plays out, and then I want you to give us one of your favorite what-ifs. It could be anything, okay. Any sport, Eagles or whatever. So I'll throw my what-if that we've talked about a little bit tonight. What if Carson Wentz doesn't get hurt in Los Angeles in 2017? How do you think the next few months and few years with the Philadelphia Eagles play out? Carson doesn't get hurt.
If Carson doesn't get hurt in Los Angeles that day, I think there's a good chance the Eagles have two Super Bowl rings at this point. The one they would have won that year and the following year. Carson was playing at an elite level that year. The team was absolutely rolling. Not taking anything away from Nick Foles because he played out of his mind, but I think that team was so special. I really think that injury in Los Angeles has derailed Carson's career, and you know he kind of got it back on track at the end of last year, but it's defined his career up to this point. I mean, when you talk about Carson's career, you talk about that injury. So if he stays healthy, if he keeps on a roll, if he wins a Super Bowl that year, goes into next year healthy, I think there's a good chance Eagles win the Super Bowl one of these last years.
Yeah, definitely changed everything about his career mentally and physically. I mean, the whole Foles thing and the next year injury, it did. And now we'll see if he can get past it and become great again. All right, let's hear yours. I say what if. What pops to your mind?
Well, you picked probably the best one out there, so I'm not going to be able to top it. But for me, my what if would be, what if the Sixers beat the Lakers in 01? That was my favorite team of all time. I think Iverson's viewed a lot differently in the city. What happens after that? So, you know, it's not a crazy trade what if, but, man, I would have really loved if the Sixers beat the Lakers in 01. So that if I would be could see what one what if, that's what I would pick.
AI would a parade. AI would a finals MVP. I like that one. Elliot, you have a good night, and stay healthy, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you there.
There he goes. Elliot Shoreparks, 94WIP.com. I mean, could you be more of an Iverson fan, Tucker? Like, if they won the finals, like, he's already your guy.
I don't know. I guess it would give me more of a leg to stand on, right? Like, when people talk about, like, when I talk to my dad will tell me, you know, Iverson was nothing compared to Dr. J. He has that title to hang over,
sure.
Iverson, right? Like, Iverson kind of, if he has the title, he's not as great as Dr. J was or kind of the all-time greats, but you could put him ahead of guys like Barkley and stuff pretty easily if he had won a title. Like, he'd be closer to Dirk Nowitzki than he would where he is now.
Yeah, the MVP and the title. Yeah, it would have validated what was an exciting career to be even more than that. So Elliot picked the Sixers winning. I'm going to throw one more out there that I haven't thrown out yet tonight. But this, like, I haven't ranked my what-ifs, but if I ever did a list ranking my favorite what-ifs, this would certainly be near the top of the list. One of the what-ifs that I've thought about probably since – I think this one first popped in my mind in 2010 when Mike Vick reemerged with the Eagles as a star quarterback and just became unstoppable for a stretch. And we know the Eagles won the division and they gave Vick the contract, and long term it didn't work out. And Mike was on the downside of his career after all the years that were wasted in Atlanta and what happened with prison. But when I watched Michael Vick at his best, healthy, and I think with a clear mind and a clear conscience and just kind of a reformed person here with the Eagles, all I could think about, like I almost didn't enjoy it, because all I could think about was, what if the Eagles had pushed the can down the road on the quarterback selection and instead of in 1999 taking Donovan McNabb, fortifying a different area of the team? Heck, they could have took a running back. They could have made the Dirty 30 happy and taken Ricky Williams. I mean, they could have went a million different ways. But what if they didn't select Donovan? And what if the Eagles had waited for Mike Vick to eventually arrive out of Virginia Tech and Andy Reid had had Mike Vick for his entire career? That is a what if I think about often. I thought about it during Vick's time here. And I really truly believe if Vick had played with Andy his whole career, not, you know, in the offense, they stuck him in Atlanta and not with those. He was basically playing for defensive coach during his career with the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, it was the complete opposite Andy Reid. I believe Mike Vick would be in the Hall of Fame. I believe he would have went down as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Dynamic, unstoppable when he was young in Andy's offense. Now, the part I don't know is if he would have been a different person, if he would have stayed out of trouble, if his the arc would have totally changed. But like if he had been healthy and played for Andy's whole career and focused, I believe Mike Vick is an all-time great.
I don't know if Andy Reid would have still been here if they had waited for Mike Vick.
2 years they had to wait, right?
They would have had to wait 2 years. And that next year, the top quarterback taken?
Tim Couch.
No, Tim Couch was the McNabb year,
right,
wasn't
so
it?
2000 was what? 2000 was...
Courtney Brown was the number one overall pick.
Browns. LeVar Arrington in that draft?
Chad Pennington was drafted 18th overall. So Chad Pennington was the best quarterback taken. So you can understand why they passed on a quarterback year. Corey Simon was the Eagles' pick at number 6 overall.
They probably saw the drafts out. Like they recognized the next draft was the Pennington draft or whatever.
Right. So it's just if they had waited, if they didn't have McNabb, the next year they picked in the 20s and they obviously took Freddie Mitchell.
They would have needed another
in the first round. Like
veteran.
You would have needed basically another rebuilding year where you're the worst team in football again. And I think if Andy Reid's 5-11 three straight years, he's probably gone.
Probably. But man, it'd be fun if Vic was here. Yeah, I understand why they did what they did. I mean, they had to. I wonder who they could have taken in instead of Donovan. Like, not a running back. That really wouldn't have helped out the timeline. Because if they're waiting on the quarterback, the running back is going to rack up carries and get cooked. I know Ricky Williams and Edgerrin James were in there, but non-running backs, who would have been the pick?
So top five picks. Number one was Tim Couch. Two right. was McNabb. Akili Smith went number 3 to Cincinnati. Then you had Edgerrin James, Ricky Williams. Torrey Holt went 6 to St. Louis.
Torrey could have worked.
Champ Bailey went 7 to Washington.
That could have worked.
David Boston went 8 to Arizona.
Imagine adding Champ Bailey to that defense. That defense was loaded.
I mean, having a cornerback crew of Champ Bailey, Troy Vincent, and Bobby Taylor.
Or Torrey Holt could have been here getting ready for Vic, and then you could have had that whole offense put actually a top receiver from the start in Torrey Holt and Michael Vick. Then that's a what if. 215-592-9494. What's your favorite what if? Great what ifs in sports. I do not believe the Philadelphia Eagles should trade up in the NFL draft. Stay at 21. Stand pat. Don't waste extra draft picks. Don't go after the quote unquote number one wide receiver and just sit there and do it. What would you do? 215-592-9494. We get back. I promise you, the Mike Greenberg check that made me just shake my head today. And I want to play for you. Adam Schefter ripped the NFL last night for their insistence on going on with the NFL draft. We'll play those for you coming up. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.